The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave no answer. The chief priest and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. So today, we may be looking forward to a day and a weekend filled with words and thoughts of thanks as we celebrate Thanksgiving. And we may also recognize, like was said earlier, that today is the last Sunday in the church year. And as our church year ends, the lectionary takes us from Thanksgiving to the brutal realities at the foot of the cross. And we are brought to the cross to celebrate what was originally named Christ the King Sunday. Now, much like most of you, I don't know much about kings, other than what I saw in movies or read about in books. My one experience of kings is from playing King of the Hill as a child. Now, when we moved into the house my parents still live in, the yard was basically a lot of trees and weeds and a lot of bushes. Many of the trees were removed to make room for the house. And my father had many loads of soil brought in so that he could have a nice green lawn. This meant that there were many large mounds of soil next to the house, perfect for playing King of the Hill. The kids on the block gathered, and I was not bothered by the fact that I was the only girl, since I really was more of a tomboy. The boys scrambled up the hill quickly, all trying to get to the top first, and I was right there with them. Since I was a girl, they did really not pay much attention to me, and they didn't think that I could get to the top first. But I was determined, and so I stayed really low. And much to their surprise, I got to the top and proclaimed, "I am king of the hill." And even though my reign as king was short, it felt like an accomplishment because I was no longer just a girl. I was king of the hill. Now, this game may seem like mere child's play, but if we look at this game, we see a small example of how a monarchy may operate. Whoever is on top fights to get there and could be toppled at any time by someone more powerful or more cunning. This may be familiar to us even though we do not have a king. Every 2 years, the positioning for power begins the minute election results are announced. Those elected start fighting off opponents to keep their position and maintain their popularity rating. The object is to stay on top no matter what. Political wrangling is nothing new, unfortunately. The kings of Jesus' time did the same thing. And the Jews were looking for the one who would free them from oppressive rule. This feast we celebrate today is often renamed in many congregations to Reign of Christ Sunday. And we get a hint of what this reign of Christ looks like from the passage from Colossians. We are told that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might have the first place in everything. In Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of the cross. Now, I can understand why people may want to rename this feast day because of some of the cultural baggage attached to the word king. But perhaps we can set aside the baggage long enough to explore a new definition for the word king. For as much as we might want to avoid language naming Jesus king, we cannot escape the fact that Jesus was a political figure. We are told Jesus is brought before Pilate and is accused of political rebellion. "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes," they say. Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" But what he is really wondering is, "Are you claiming to be the king of the Jews, denying Caesar's authority so that you can have your own Jewish kingdom?" Pilate wants to make sure Jesus is not going to lead an armed rebellion against Rome. And when he found out that Jesus wasn't so interested in rebellion against Rome, he dismisses him. When we get to the cross, the people have a sense of Jesus as king also, but they use it as a taunt. They hang a sign above his head saying, "King of the Jews." And both the leaders and the soldiers shout sentences at him, hinging upon the word if. If you are the Messiah, save yourself. They may sense that there is something different about Jesus, but they get stuck in the idea of a king as one who rules with force rather than justice, and perhaps with very little care about those he is ruling. And this understanding of king is even present in some of the disciples who fled from Jesus because they did not comprehend what they had been told. They wanted Jesus to be their king, fighting all those who would oppress them. So they taunt Jesus, wondering, how can he be king if he is hanging on a cross? The cross was an act of final humiliation. And Jesus does not argue when they taunt him. He pronounces forgiveness. Jesus' first words from Luke's cross are, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing." The people do not understand that Jesus brings grace, mercy, and forgiveness. They do not realize that his kingdom will appear because he is on the cross, not in spite of it. And I can imagine, well, hanging on the cross, Jesus probably did not look like someone who was about to inherit a kingdom. And perhaps the words of forgiveness gave him hope. And one of the thieves with him takes a risk and asks Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Jesus promises him that he would not forget one such as him, ones such as us. Jesus tells the one waiting for a future reign, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The kingdom is happening at that very moment. God is, in Jesus on the cross, both playing the game of King of the Hill and ending it. He plays the game by toppling not only the powers of this world, but also that way of being in power. No longer force, which in its extreme can threaten and deliver death, serve to keep someone on top while others are below. The game itself is ended. And it is defeated not by force, but by love. A love so great that it would lay down even its own self. Jesus as king is the righteous branch from the house of David. God's promise to the people was to bring a king who was righteous, who would bring about justice, and it would show what it really means to love. This promise was made complete in Jesus, whose love was so complete that it brings healing and wholeness to all who encounter it. We agree that all things culminate in Christ. But we also have a new definition for king in Christ. The new definition for king, according to Christ, is one who rules and acts with justice and righteousness, mercy and love. This is a definition that brings good news to all of us. And in closing, I would like to share a poem by Rosalind Brown. Sing of the king who was born an outcast, mother unmarried, his birth far from home. Born in a stable and occupied country, toddler in exile for fear of the throne. Sing of the king who's mixed with life rejects, cared for them, talked with them, welcomed them in. Hope for the hopeless and love for the loveless, moved with compassion when faced with our sin. Sing of the king whose crown of thorns wound him, whose throne is a cross, his scepter a reed, robed in his torn flesh without human beauty, dying with convicts, abandoned in need. Sing of the king now raised from the dark tomb, in heaven still bearing the scars of his love, reigning, yet still the servant and lover, raising our frailty to glory above. Amen.